There can be no better Sunday to encounter the gospel story of today than on a Sunday on which we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. The air of our building is already filled with the fragrance of this day. If we were to close our eyes, there are a variety of aromas to note. The smell of cleanliness, that fragrance of the morning churchgoer freshly washed and perfumed as preparations were made for a special morning. Time spent in worship with the Creator, a time spent with those with whom we share faith, community and knowledge. The smell of greenery, perhaps not the pungent smell of lilies, and maybe the floral arrangement hasn't quite reached you yet. The smell of an ancient building coming to life with the warmth lifting the dust from the pipes and the dampness of the day offering contrast. And most importantly, the smell of the elements settled on the table waiting for their moment to pour forth the reminder of God's grace. There's no freshly baked bread here, but even the knowledge and promise of the familiar and comforting taste of yeasty dough can open our imaginations to the warm hope of bread. The heady smell of wine, though, slowly makes its way throughout the sanctuary, offering the promise of Christ's presence. The fragrances of this day for us are mainly comforting and reassuring, of well-known practice and habit. The fragrance of the gospel story offers the unexpected. There are unexpected directions in the conversation for those who are listening, and an unexpected opportunity to explore the complexity of our relationships to each other and to God. In these days before Holy Week, we're drawing closer to the tension of the journey of the cross. The story we hear from the Gospel of John will at times have been heard in the mix of Holy Week services. Two of the other Gospels, Matthew and Mark, tell the story of Jesus being anointed after the events of Palm Sunday, so after next Sunday, while Luke places the story much earlier. But in what we hear today, the anointing of Jesus by Mary happens immediately prior to that triumphant entry into Jerusalem. That anointing of Jesus might even be seen as the anointing of a king before he makes his royal journey to the heart of his people. And there, perhaps, is the beginning of the unexpected events. The Gospels have introduced us to Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus before. And we will return to look at Martha and Mary in a wee while. We've sensed the bond between the family and Jesus in other stories, and so this meal at their home in Bethany comes as no surprise. Sharing food with friends is what people do. But the evening spent with friends is a series of unexpected events. No one would have expected Mary to wash Jesus' feet with a most expensive perfume, and no one would have expected her then to wipe them with her hair. In a society where men anointed men, this image of a woman declaring what she knew of Jesus is unexpected and uncomfortable. In a community where only servants were expected to attend to the cleanliness of their guests, Mary's actions, while offering signs of humility, must have seemed brazen. The argument between Judas and Jesus is unexpected. Judas must have expected Jesus to back him. Jesus so many times has sided with the poor and criticized wealth ill-used that Judas possibly thought that his comments showed that he understood the good news. Jesus' response then throws him and the disciples. They've not seen in Mary's actions what Jesus has recognised. They're not expecting an anointing of a king in their midst and only see the wastefulness of a resource that could be better used elsewhere. Having shared a meal with friends, who expects that perfume and an argument would lead to a conversation about death? It's the kind of conversation that's high up there on the list of subjects to be avoided at the dinner table. Religion, politics, death. Who wants to talk about these things? Well, Jesus does. And unexpectedly invites those who follow to sit down beside him and join the conversation and all the discomfort it must have caused. This uncomfortable meal with unexpected highlights throws open windows into the different ways in which we relate to each other and to the Creator. We always meet Mary of Bethany in relationship to other people, as she offers an opportunity to contrast one kind of behaviour in encountering God with another. In previous stories, we've met her in relationship to her sister Martha, and in this story, she offers an alternative to the disciples, and particularly Judas. When we first meet Mary and her sister Martha, Martha's busy. Busy cooking, busy cleaning, busy being hospitable. Meanwhile, Mary is sitting, listening to the words, taking in the atmosphere, enjoying the presence of the moment. We meet the sisters again following the death of their brother. Again, Martha's the practical one. She's the one who sets out to meet Jesus, tell him what has happened, and responds in faith to the future that lies in God's hands. Mary's the emotional one. She falls on her knees, weeping. She expects more of Jesus, of the love of God. She hopes for a different future. The contrast condemns neither behaviour, but it opens the possibility of experiencing overwhelming devotion and emotion as part of relating to God. In contrast to the discomfort of the disciples at the meal in Bethany, Mary's comfortable with herself and her response to who Jesus is. There's nothing buttoned up about Mary's knowledge of who Jesus is. Instead, she demonstrates the certainty of the Messiah before her and the possibility of all that that will unleash. The muttering crowds of the Pharisees and the priests following the raising of her brother would have fed its way through local gossip and rumour, and in a brazen moment, Mary demonstrates all she knows that lies ahead. She anoints the king of her heart and allows Jesus to confirm the possibility of his death. The discomfort of the disciples is openly spoken of in the words of Judas. And while we might want to side with him, to see his claim that the money could be better spent as realistic, instead, it offers a moment of revelation. As the gospel writer discloses the pilfering habits of Judas, the contrast between selfless and selfish acts are offered. As Jesus throws back Judas's claim of piety, he doesn't deny the presence of the poor or the responsibility of playing a part. Instead, the conversation turns to how wastefulness tells the story of what's to come. Wastefulness tells the story of what's to come. The fragrance of anointing calls us to live with unexpected, extravagant wastefulness whenever we encounter the presence of Jesus. Through the presence of Mary, we meet the alternative persona, the contrast that we as individuals and as a community sometimes are. How many of us can see the busy qualities of Martha in our everyday existence? We've got so much to do, too little time, and that making space and place for an encounter with the presence of God. Angrily, we grow frustrated that we're not hearing the story, that we're outside the room and the conversation. How many of us can see the penny-pinching qualities of Judas in the way we view the handling of resources by others? We're not giving money to the church or some other charity because they waste it on heating, lighting, staff, sending it to national organisations, or all of the above. We grow frustrated because the need we want met never seems to be the one that's the latest fad or hope of life. As we gather round the fragrance of a meal of grace, how many of us are willing to offer the unexpected, extravagant wastefulness of Mary? An unexpected, extravagant wastefulness that allows worship to permeate every part of our life, that recognises that time spent in the presence and service of God allows the good news story to be told through our lives. An unexpected, extravagant wastefulness that humbly lays our skills and talents at the call of God, that at times will make others uncomfortable because we've recognised that Christ is leading us to an unselfish recognition of others. An unexpected, extravagant wastefulness that no longer counts the cost of pennies spent, but instead sees the value of the gospel proclaimed in places and people that offer welcome and restoration. Come to the table this day. Smell the aroma of God's unexpected, extravagant wastefulness. Remember the wastefulness of love and the call to share.